The information is presented for educational purposes only, is not intended to diagnose or prescribe for any medical or psychological condition, or to prevent, treat, mitigate, or cure such conditions. This information is only presented herein for entertainment and educational purposes only. Hi, welcome to the Whole Body Detox Show. I'm your host, David DeHaas, where each week we bring you information on how to heal the body naturally. We're located in Boise, Idaho, where we do a 10-day healing retreat and are best known for helping people get their health miracle. If you want to know more about that, go to healingtheincurables.com. That's healingtheincurables.com. Or you can reach out to us on the telephone, 208-378-9911. Enjoy today's show. But first, before I begin, I want to give you guys a heads up. Today is Sunday, and tomorrow, Monday, October 4th, there is a special meeting down at the Boise City Hall where the Planning and Zoning is meeting about a wireless ordinance that, quite frankly, has been, in my opinion, gutted, and many other people's opinions as well, and it's not really going to be to the benefit of the citizens of this valley. So if you'd like to weigh in on it, tomorrow's your chance. You can do it on Zoom from your home by just going to the Boise City website, find the Planning and Zoning meeting, click on that link. We're fourth on the agenda. You can show up in person, or you can do it on Zoom. You get 3 minutes to speak, and I highly recommend you weigh in because this is the time for them to hear about you. So with that said, we talked about 5G last week, a little different vein, but I found a very special person who's very versed in this. His name is Kent Chamberlain. Kent received his PhD from Ohio University, specializing in computational electromagnetics. His research has been devoted to modeling radio wave propagation, including interfering radiation from computing devices and wave phenomena in the human body. Dr. Chamberlain is a past chair and professor emeritus in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. In his more than 35 years in academia, he has performed research for more than 25 sponsors, including the National Science Foundation. He has received 2 Fulbright Awards, including the prestigious Fulbright Distinguished Chair, which he served in Évora, Portugal. He has also served as an associate editor for the Institute for Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and he continues to be active in performing research and publishing. He recently served on the New Hampshire State Commission to explore the health and environmental impacts of wireless communication, and that's the primary reason why we're talking today. So welcome to the show, Dr. Chamberlain.
Thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you've been around a while, so long before wireless phones, you were in this field. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I've been exposing myself to electromagnetic fields my whole career, and I've always thought that they were benign. Now, I've climbed towers as part of my field engineering work, and so we never thought about it. It was just they're there and they're harmless. And it was when I joined the commission that I found out otherwise. So when I was asked to join the commission, because of my position in a university, you know, in specializing in electromagnetics, I thought that this would be really easy, that we would form the commission, we would determine that there was no problem associated with exposure to fields, you know, wipe our hands and get on with our lives and do something else. But that is not what we found. So this had the full backing of the legislature and the governor. So it was really a well-formed commission. Now, the legislation itself that formed the commission was 6 pages long, and it was very specific about who had to be on the commission, because they didn't want to form some just, you know, ad hoc commission with a bunch of good old boys that would decide that that 5G or other forms of wireless were okay. So they wanted to bring in together real experts and recognize experts. So in the final analysis, we had people with backgrounds in physics, toxicology, electromagnetics, biostatistics, epidemiology, occupational health. I mean, the whole gamut, you know, 2 physicians. So when we were done, we had 13 members with the expertise to make the types of decisions and come up with the types of recommendations that you would hope for in a solid state commission.
How did you begin your work? How did you set up the protocol to examine this?
Well, we had a number of questions that we were asked to answer. Why won't the insurance industry recognize or insure against health problems, against risks associated with exposure to electromagnetic fields? Even Lloyd's of London won't touch this. So that's something for people to watch out for, and something that people in towns might request when they're considering a permit. In other words, we'll let you have this permit if you can get insurance. And there's the hitch, because you can't get insurance with this. So we were asked to answer questions like that. We were asked to find out why the FCC does not recognize the problems, even though there are thousands of peer-reviewed journal articles that show that there are health risks. So these are some of the things we were asked to look at. And we were asked to not only look at the peer-reviewed publications, but we were asked to bring in recognized experts in the field of wireless and harm due to wireless. And that's what we did over a period of a year. And I should note, it's kind of interesting, we brought in 9 experts, and the only expert that was paid to come and present to us came from the industry, from the telecom industry. And that was the only expert who said that there was no problem with exposure to radiation. All of the other experts said, yeah, there are major risks, and here are what they are. And what we found was that what was said by the experts that we brought in was consistent with what we were seeing in the peer-reviewed publications.
How did you select those guys? Was it just from the different studies you had read or picked up, or how did that come about?
So it's not like we excluded people from industry. In fact, you couldn't have an effective commission if you did exclude people like that. We also had somebody from the Business and Industries Association and a senator from a region that had a number of high-tech industries.
So, you know, there's a lot of the term 5G, 4G, 3G. You know, let's talk about the differentiates between getting a phone call versus broadband data and explain what really is the 5G network.
Well, one thing we found out early on is that 5G is basically a marketing tool, that there's no defined 5G. If you're a telecom company, you can call something 5G. In fact, you could call 4G, 5G, and because there's really not a defined 5G. It is a piggyback. 5G, whatever it is, however you define it as a company, piggybacks on 3G and 4G. So 3G and 4G don't go away. You're simply adding on something on top of that. And the significance is that that adds to your total radiation exposure when you add something new. From all that we heard was that you get your telephone from 3G and 4G. 5G is an add-on to supposedly provide you with high-speed internet access. But we didn't look at the technical aspects, you know, whether or not 5G would perform as it's supposed to. We looked at this from an exposure standpoint. And, you know, when you think about exposure to wireless radiation, you can think of it as like kind of like air pollution. The more radiation you have, the more pollution that equates to, and the more it's going to impact you. So if you have a single cell phone sitting on your desk, you're getting a certain degree of exposure. If you take another cell phone and put it the same distance on your desk, you're going to get this twice the exposure. So anytime you add anything, you're going to increase your overall exposure level. And just like air pollution, you may be fine up to a certain exposure level. You can breathe just fine. But when it goes above a certain point, there seems to be a tipping point, an avalanche effect, where all of a sudden now it has a significant impact on you. You become sensitized to it so that when you're exposed to any additional radiation, in fact, people can become dysfunctional from it. So as we looked at the radiation, we found out, first of all, that it doesn't matter particularly what the frequency is, that it's going to impact you. So even living near a TV station, living near a radio station has a negative impact, and it adds to your total radiation load. So as you transition from 3 and 4G to 5G, you're going to be adding more antennas, you're going to be increasing your radiation exposure, and that's not a good thing for reasons that we can talk about later.
Right. And the current ordinance here in Boise, they're saying every 500 feet, as close as 20 feet from the home, which means you're going to have a lot of frequency coming into your home.
That's right. You're going to get a lot of radiation. And in fact, one of our recommendations, and a very important one, maybe the most important recommendation, was something called a setback. And that is, how far can you have a radiation source, a large radiation source like a large tower, from where people live, from structures? Yeah,
go ahead. Let's talk about that when we come back. Hey, if you've been listening, you've been listening to Dr. Kent Chamberlain, who is an expert in wireless radiation, and we're talking about what's going on in Boise and the health effects that come from these devices, not only devices, but these towers as well. And just so you know, if you're listening tomorrow, October 4th at 6 p.m., the Boise City Planning and Zoning Commission is meeting to discuss their new wireless ordinance, which they pretty much gutted from the previous ordinance. And they're pretty much giving Verizon and the other telecom companies carte blanche, open arms to the city, put these towers wherever they want to with no review. They want to take away the conditional review process, which I think is just a shame. So we'll be back in a moment on the other side. I'm David DeHaas on the Whole Body Detox Show. Stay tuned. We're going to share more here in a moment about the health effects. And as we just talked on the previous episode about the where these towers are going, in the current Boise City ordinance, they're saying every 500 feet, as close as 20 feet from the home. If you want to testify about this, guys, you got to show up on October 4th in person or on Zoom. If you're going to do it on Zoom, you got to sign up before noon on Monday. That's the cutoff time. You can do it from the comfort of your home. You get 3 minutes to speak. If you want to know talking points, go to Idahoans, IdahoansForSafeTechnology.org. That's IdahoansForSafeTechnology.org. Well, I know when I first got involved in this a little over a year ago, I knew some of it, information, because I had clients coming in and, you know, having these weird symptoms, right? Doctors would say it was all in their head, blah, blah, blah. And we'd say, well, where do you live? And next thing you know, it's either by a tower or it might be by a substation. And we'd say, why don't you think about moving? Because this is causing severe harm. So I want to talk a little bit about that as well. So before we got cut off last time, you were going down a road here. I want to travel down that road, but let's go there if we can.
All right. Well, what we did on the commission, what we found was a good setback. That is, the distance between the tower and where people live was 500 meters. And it's not a number we just pulled out of our heads. It's something that is based on solid research. Now, there are a couple of ways that you can do this, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about the thinking process that we went through. But you can look at epidemiological studies. And there was one wonderful study done in Brazil over a 10-year period of time with over 800 cell towers. And what they did is they looked at people who lived near those towers and found out what the health outcomes were as a function of the distance they were lived from the tower. And it was a clear indication that the closer you live to a tower, the worse your health outcomes are going to be. And so they looked at mortality as a function of distance from the tower. And the closer you got, the greater your mortality, the greater number of deaths per year. And as you got farther from the tower, that dropped off considerably. And so what we found is that, and this isn't only our finding, we were talking to experts who helped us understand and interpret the data. It looks like right around 500 meters is where there's a change in the slope of that curve being the curve of mortality as a function of distance from the tower. So right at about 500 meters, there was this break point. And so a determination that a lot of people have made, and that was that that's the distance you should be from the tower. You should be 500 meters or more from the tower if you don't want to experience negative health effects as a result of living near the tower. So that's what we came up with. That's a recommendation that we're trying to put into legislation. And we're concerned we're going to get a lot of pushback from the cell companies because they don't want that. In fact, one thing to consider is that there's a lot of money at stake here. The easiest and the lowest cost way to provide coverage in an area is to go to the center of a population, a populated area, put up your antenna, maybe put it on top of a building, and then turn up the volume, if you will, turn up the power on that transmitter until you get the desired coverage area. Well, you already have a building in place, so you don't have to put up a new tower. You don't have to lease new property. Get roads, you don't have to put in any roads to get there. So it's all set up for you. It's a very low-cost installation. Now, what makes sense for an installation is to move away from the populated areas to a remote area, put up a tall tower, and then beam the signal into the area you want to have coverage. It costs a lot more, but if you do it that way, nobody gets really high exposures like the people near the tower. So if your assumption is that radiation is harmless, that's a great idea to put the tower in the middle of the town and turn up the power. But if you realizing that it does cause problems, does cause big problems, then the only way to safely do it is to put a tower away from town and send the signal towards your population.
Yeah, I was watching that on your video. It makes sense. And one of the things that was really alarming is that, as you mentioned in your video, where I watched the way the signal can bounce down into buildings and ricochet off, and you're really in this, in basically a jail, if you will, of EMFs just bombarding you. You want to speak to that, how bad that gets?
Yeah, I do. In fact, it's a question I get is, what are the symptoms that you might expect if you are getting radiated? You might not know that you're being radiated because many of the symptoms are similar to, well, what you can get in everyday life. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But we do have a number of situations where cell towers have been installed. And when they turn those cell towers on, people experience particular symptoms, which I'll, matter of fact, let me read it for you.
Okay.
So the case I'm going to be talking about is in California, where they put cell towers on top of fire stations, where the firefighters would sleep and would oftentimes be in that facility 24/7. So what happens when they turned on the power? Well, within a week of installation, many firefighters developed unusual symptoms of headaches, fatigue, insomnia, memory loss, confusion, nausea, and weakness. And after a time, firefighters in stations with adjacent cell towers were found to have forgotten CPR, or they became lost responding to a fire in a city where they grew up. I mean, when you hear those symptoms, you can say, well, isn't that, you know, part of everyday life? And the answer is yes. A lot of us have headaches, fatigue, insomnia, or whatever. And they can be caused by, those symptoms can be caused by other causes, like chemical sensitivity, like drinking too much the night before. So the thing is, you might not know that those symptoms are being caused by exposure to radiation. And the problem with this is, if you continue that exposure to radiation, it's going to have other health effects that go far beyond the initial ones that I just named, the headaches, memory loss, et cetera. So that's kind of the insidious part of this, is that when you're exposed, you may not know that the symptoms you're experiencing are caused by radiation.
Well, and as I understand it, in that particular case and in others, they've actually... Was there some legislation? Was it just in that city that said no towers on fire stations?
There's a lot more politics to it than that. But you're right. Firefighters were obviously upset about it because in this particular instance, there were a group of people that were affected all at once. And so they quickly figured out what was causing the problem. There have been other places around this country where that's happened, like Pittsfield, Mass. They turned on a tower, and all of a sudden, a number of people, 14 people in a particular neighborhood, got sick on that very day. So they're trying to work out legislation, and I'm not sure how effective they're being, because there's a lot of pressure brought about by the cell industry to keep legislation from happening. In fact, according to the cell industry, there is absolutely no harm associated with exposure to low-level non-ionizing fields, which is what we're dealing with through cell phone radiation. So I'm not sure about the legislation. The union, the firefighters union, got heavily involved, and they came up with some agreement with the cell industry to move the towers off of the facilities.
Well, we've seen this also in schools, and unfortunately, Boise, I just see there's a couple of towers got approved, one on a school by me and one on a high school down the road away, so right on top of the school. And I've seen videos of other cities where these kids all of a sudden, boom, they're young kids, fourth, fifth grade, and they've got brain cancer and all these problems like you mentioned. So yeah, it's a big problem for sure.
Actually, there was one study I read where they were looking at students in two schools. Students in one of the schools were exposed to five times the radiation because there was a nearby cell tower, and then they had a lower exposure in that other school. And what they found through blood tests was students near the tower had a higher blood sugar level, and the authors of the paper made the connection between type 2 diabetes and exposure to cell phone radiation because it raises your blood pressure. So you know we're having an epidemic in type 2 diabetes.
We are.
A possible explanation. I won't jump to that conclusion, right, but there is this association.
Yeah. Hey, guys, you've been listening to Dr. Kent Chamberlain, and he is an expert in electromagnetic frequencies. And we're talking about what's going on in Boise. We're having a planning and zoning meeting tomorrow, October 4th. And if you do not want to have this in Boise, Idaho, I suggest you come down and testify. You got 3 minutes. You can do it on Zoom call. Just go to Boise City website, click on planning and zoning. We're fourth on the agenda. You can show up in person, and I highly recommend you do. I'm David DeHaas, the Whole Body Detox Show. We'll be back in just a moment. You know, I call this, you can't treat the body and heal it a piece at a time. You have to treat the whole body naturally. That's why Living Waters Wellness Center 10-Day Healing Retreat is so successful in helping what I call the incurables back to wellness. Here's what a few clients had to say about their experience at Living Waters Wellness Center.
For over a year, I've been dealing with gas pains, stomach pains, and been waking me up in the middle of the night, so I never get a full night's rest. And last night, after my first colonics, I slept through the entire night without any stomach pain or any kind of issues.
I suffered from migraine headaches for 12 years, once a month. And since I did the 10-day retreat at Living Waters Wellness Center 8 years ago, I have not even had a migraine. I've not even had a headache.
I had back pain on my left side for about 20, 25 years. After the 10-day healing retreat, the pain is completely gone.
To learn more about the 10-Day Healing Retreat, go to healingtheincurables.com or call the office at 208-378-9911. That's 208-378-9911. The preceding examples may not be typical of your experience and may not be right for you. Seek the opinion of a qualified healthcare professional before determining if cleansing is right for you. I call this the next pandemic. People are worried about COVID, and that's the big argument today. Wear a mask, social distance, don't wear a mask, close down businesses. I suggest to you, this is a bigger pandemic because actually there was a study that came out this last spring that showed cities with 5G implemented had higher rates of COVID, which kind of makes a lot of sense because of the damage to the tissues of the body. Your immune system is going to be decreased and therefore more susceptible to any kind of illness, not just COVID, I'm assuming.
Yeah, was that Beverly Rubik's paper?
I don't remember.
There were a couple of them. And by the way, be careful. We're not saying that the 5G causes COVID, far from it. But I'm familiar with some of that work you're talking about. And that is they looked at the cities that had the highest exposure from cell phone type radiation, including 5G. Generally, the cities that have 5G have a greater total exposure. And they were able to correlate higher rates of serious COVID in those cities. And that's not surprising, as I mentioned, because exposure to cell phone radiation does tend to suppress the immune system.
Now, when your peers on the commission were looking at this, would you say most of them went in thinking like, this will be pretty easy, we'll put this to bed pretty fast, or were there some people already like that they were, I think this can cause harm, or where were you across the board with the 13 members?
I was really happy, you know, when you have a commission, you don't want people to go in with too many preconceived notions. And if anything, I was, you know, biased with the feeling that, oh, it's harmless because I've worked in it my whole life. And everything I read involving health, of course, that came out from the industry, but it suggested there was no problem at all. So I would say that the only people on the commission that were biased were those affiliated with industry, affiliated with the cell phone industry, or those in politics, because, and I guess we could delve a little bit into the politics here, the cell phone industry has huge amounts of money. You know, you know where your bills are going, you know, either the bills that you pay every month for your cell phone, and that's a lot. And so the cell industry has accumulated huge amounts of money they use for an army of lobbyists and for campaign contributions. So they tend to focus this money to make sure that Well, they get to have their way in terms of where they want to place towers and in making sure that nothing stands in their way of rolling out networks. So that's a big part of what's going on. And that does have a lot to do with people's perception about cell phones being harmless, because they want you to continue believing that. And they've done a lot to suppress the information out there that says that the cell phones are harmful. In fact, if I can tell a little bit of a story, this happened in Berkeley, California, where the Berkeley Town Council could see that people didn't know about the harms of cell phone radiation exposure. And so people were, putting cell phones in their pockets right next to them. And women were tucking cell phones in their bras even. And the town council said, well, this is not good. We have to let people know that they shouldn't be doing this. So they had a little simple write-up that they were going to ask the retailers for cell phones to hand out to customers. And that little handout, that little paragraph just said, you shouldn't have this next to your body when it's turned on. That's pretty simple and sounds pretty innocuous. Well, the cell industry didn't want that admission out there that your cell phone in any way could be harmful. So they sued the Berkeley Council saying you can't have this requirement that retailers have to pass and give this information out. And they won in court. They won that argument. It was based on First Amendment rights saying that you can't force the retailers to say something they don't want to say. It just shows the type of efforts that the cell industry will go through to have you continue believing that your cell phone won't harm you. But if you go under settings and you scroll down into legal and all that, it states pretty clearly what the city, the town council in Berkeley, wanted people to know about. But it's already there, but the cell companies, the telecom industry, wants to keep that hidden.
And who'd ever think to go into settings and go into legal and read the legalese, because we're also used to
be pretty bored. It's because I've gone through it, and it is pretty.
Yeah, I went through it the other day. I thought, I've never done this, and I went through it. And, oh my goodness, thanks, Christ. Yeah, so buggy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, and we've seen here. I tell you before we went on the air. People that are having problems. One of our board members who moved here from California, and he moved because he was having problems, and they finally determined it was where he lived. And there was a lot of radiation in that area. So I moved out here to Idaho, found a great little place in the city, but kind of in the country a little bit, a couple acres he could buy, bought a couple of cows, him and his wife and three daughters, rolled in 4-H, living the life, and then boom, Verizon brings in an application for a big tower, which they contested. They went to the county, and the county says, yeah, no, we're not going to let you put that tower in. And the homeowners actually says, hey, we found a piece of land mile down the road. You put the tower there. Verizon says, nope, don't like that. And they sued in court. And unfortunately, the attorneys at the county and the ones that the homeowners hired was inadequate at understanding this area of law, and they lost, and the tower went in. This April 19th, he went into AFib while he was in his backyard, 177 beats per minute. They rush him to the hospital, takes the paddles to put his heart back in place. Goes home a few days later, same thing happens, AFib, back to the hospital. This went on 6 more times. On the third time, he said, what about that tower? Calls Idaho Power and said, when did the power turn on at that tower? April 15th. Now, on April 1st, he went out and checked on his beehive. Bees were doing great. They were thriving. They were excited. Another year of honey crop. Bees dead. All dead. He noticed his fruit trees weren't like his neighbor's fruit trees down the street. He then put out a next door neighborhood and says, hey, I'm having these symptoms with my body, feeling kind of like this. He didn't say anything about a tower. He just says, hey, anybody else having these symptoms? And 21 people replied. Now, what's interesting is that Hank then started, he's got his hunting software. And so he went AFib down the road not too far in that same month. And he started pinning where he went into AFib at. And turns out his house is a perfect alignment between two big towers. And then he got meters and he started measuring. And the amount of power that they're putting out, there needs to be a legislation on the cap on power. I can't remember the numbers right now, but it's significantly way higher than what they need to get basic cell phone coverage. And and then, Hank started, triangulating all this stuff. And then since then, I've found many people who have started reaching out to us saying, yeah, I've got headaches, or my kids can't concentrate. I have this sound in my ear at night when I sleep. They leave town, no problem. We're starting to see more and more. My wife is very sensitive. We went downtown the other day where there's quite a few of the towers. She goes, what the heck's going on? She's like, can you feel that? I don't feel it. Doesn't mean it's not affecting me. She can feel it, and many others can too. So as I see it, we've got a real pandemic coming on. We got to go to a break here. By the way, if you want to have a say on this, come down to the council meeting on tomorrow, Monday, October 4th. If you want to testify online, go to Boise City Council, click on Planning and Zoning, sign it before noon tomorrow so you can get your 3 minutes in and tell them you don't want this, you want a cap on power and so forth. I'm David DeHaas from the Whole Body Detox Show. We'll be back in a moment.
So my role was to make sure that those journal articles were all of high quality and not something that could be considered fringe. So we're able to find them. Once you start finding articles, then you start knowing what keywords to use, they start pouring in. And so I probably read hundreds of them myself, but there are thousands of these articles out there. And they talk about the problems that can likely happen with exposure to electromagnetic fields. And by the way, I should say this isn't something really interesting. We've known about these problems since the 1950s, and they're well documented, and I have the papers that show it. They've simply gotten worse over time as the overall exposure, as the noise floor, as it were, started rising as with the result of the advent of cell phones and other digital transmitters. So that was the first thing I did was to, or my, one of the roles I had was to vet the journal articles to make sure they were quality. Now, these journal articles come from all over the world. It's not like they're coming from just one research group or from one particular author. The papers that we looked at were from all over the world. They addressed different types of symptoms, being things like DNA damage. One of the biggest things that we found was oxidative stress. And that is absolutely correlated with exposure to electromagnetic fields. So we looked at a whole range of problems, and that allowed us to come to the conclusion that cell phone radiation is harmful. And that was one of the major results or major conclusions from the commission.
We see a lot of people not only with the brain fog and the headaches and that kind of stuff, but there's a lot of women couples trying to get pregnant. And I've got to imagine that this could be a factor if you're packing a phone in your pocket.
Yeah, it's a very good point you're raising, David. And that is you take take the sperm, put it in two different test tubes and expose one to radiation, cell phone, just typical cell phone radiation. Put it near your cell phone and put the other sperm, away from radiation. And there's going to be a pronounced and measurable difference between the two. Things like the motility and the overall health of the sperm will be degraded by the exposure. And this is an experiment that's been replicated many, many times. So a conclusion is that it does have a very negative impact. Exposure to electromagnetic fields has a very negative impact on sperm. And the list goes on. And I mentioned the immune system, and I mentioned in an earlier episode that it has an impact on blood sugar, and it's particularly has an impact on younger people.
I understand. So I've got a grandson, and I was told that this signal puts out 25 million times more power than what is needed to make the cell phone call, and that this radiation can go right through a baby's brain. Is that true or not true?
It doesn't necessarily go through the brain, but it certainly gets in. The skull is thicker and it provides less insulation from exposure to electromagnetic fields. I'm horrified when I see some of these devices that you can get for your cell phone. They're kind of like holders for your cell phones so that your kid can play with it.
Right.
Any kid, in fact, I would say below adolescence, they shouldn't really have much time on a device that radiates. And you can wire up your iPad, and that makes it so that it's not radiating. But I would recommend doing that if you're going to have your kids playing with electronic devices. Make sure they're not radiating.
Of course, brain cancer is a big one, and Alzheimer's and dementia contribute factors as well.
Absolutely. And so all of these things, it's not just a single issue. It's not like it only causes cancer. Not at all. It has these myriad negative impacts. and dementia, as you just mentioned. So it covers the whole spectrum, and it has to do with oxidative stress. It's a word I used before, but it relates to free radicals, maybe a term that we're more familiar with. So it's kind of like rust, that if you're exposed to electromagnetic radiation, it's going to increase the oxidation, which we know we don't. And that's why we take antioxidants to prevent that from happening. Right. But if you're near or you're getting exposed to cell phone type radiation, you're going to increase that impact, increase the free radicals, increase the oxidation.
Kent, we've got a planning and zoning meeting tomorrow night, August 4th. And guys, if you're listening to this, you want to testify, go sign up on the Boise City website and testify. Kent, if you were there at that meeting and you were going to give advice to the Boise City Council and tomorrow to the Boise Planning and Zoning, what would your advice be regarding to this rewrite?
Okay. The one thing that I hope that somebody says is that they can make reference to our commission. We were the first in the country to do it, and so far we're the only ones to have done it, where it's not the opinions of people. It is not, you know, that you have hundreds of signatures from physicians, which we have. We can get that. But for somebody to say that, hey, what about New Hampshire? They formed a commission of experts, of impartial experts, unpaid volunteers, you know, stress that point. We're not paid to come up with or to bring down 5G at all. We came up we were being asked to provide answers to protect the citizens, you guys, us. And so just make reference to the fact that our conclusion was that cell phone radiation is harmful and that people should be protected against it. We're not, I'm doing this for free. You're doing it for free, David. Yeah. And so we just are here to spread the word. People should be educating themselves on it and letting other people know, the decision makers know that, hey, your job as a decision maker is to protect us. Please do your job.
Guys, if you want to keep listening, go to the podcast. Ken and I probably go a little overtime here today. You've been listening to the Whole Body Detox Show talking about the effects of wireless radiation. We'll see you again next week. Okay, Dr. Chamberlain. Yeah, let's talk about that. So I think the big things you pointed out today was, that's very telling, is that not one insurance company, no reassurance company would assure. This is bigger than asbestos. I mean, I say these things bigger than all these things because how are you going to escape it unless you go live in a dugout someplace? I mean,
well, you're
nasty really stuff. We got to cap this power. We got to put in proper, like you showed on your wonderful slideshow that I watched, you know, how that signal disperses. And there's towers are 30 feet off the ground. Well, if you're in a third floor apartment building, for example, bam, right into you, 20 feet away.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's why we have recommended this setback, because with that setback, people should be receiving reasonable exposure, reasonable and safe levels of exposure. By the way, when I say that, I don't mean 100% of people, because there are people who are electrosensitive, who are very electrosensitive, and that's right. About 0.6% of the population. Now, that's a number that may change over time, because what we're finding is, just like with air smog, when you get more and more smog, all of a sudden people start getting bronchitis and asthma, people that wouldn't have gotten it or, you know, without that level or at lower levels. So as you increase the level of electrosmog, of total radiation exposure, we're going to see a higher and higher percentage of people become electrosensitive. That's what the numbers seem to indicate. And so, I also should mention that electromagnetic sensitivity is something that's recognized by Medicare and the ADA. And so if you are electrosensitive, and some of you who are listening to this may all of a sudden, this may be putting two and two together, you may be going, whoa, I'm electrosensitive. There are things that you can do, and you can work with your physician to figure out whether or not what you're experiencing is due to exposure to electromagnetic fields or something else like chemical exposure. And so there are specific tests that can be done. And once you have gone through those tests and been shown to be electrosensitive, there are things that the ADA can do to protect you.
Can they move towers? Can they do something like that? Or what would
it's getting to the point where that can be used. I'm working with a group in Pittsfield, Mass, and they're they may be able to move the tower with after Herculean efforts to do so. I should also point out that there are trainings for physicians to make them, to prepare them to diagnose electromagnetic sensitivity. So if you think you have it, and depending on how receptive your physician is to this, you might recommend that they take some of these courses. They're online courses. They give the physician the credits they need to.
Good idea.
Yeah. So it's something that I understand is being used more and more as people are discovering that they are indeed electromagnetically sensitive.
Well, you'll love this. When Hank was in the hospital the third or fourth time, he asked the doctor to see, any idea. And the doctor goes, no. He says, well, I do. They turned a tower on by my house. And I'm perfectly healthy until now, doc. And the doc just goes, well, no money in that. No, in other words, no money in researching that and so forth. And he just shrugged his shoulders. But he said, the doc had told him, they got a lot of people coming in of recent with AFib. Not with any explanation of why, just all of a sudden, boom, an AFib. The other thing we're seeing around our town right now, and again, cognitive dissonance, the beekeepers are having, their bees are dying.
Oh, I should mention that too. One of the things we discovered is that the exposure to electromagnetic fields definitely, and I can give you papers that describe this. One is by Blake Levitt and Henry Lai, L-A-I. And so they have three papers that describe the impact of electromagnetic radiation not only on insects, pollinating insects, but also vegetation. If you put a cell tower in the forest, you're going to find the degradation of the trees surrounding the cell tower, and that degradation drops off as you move farther away from the tower. So this cell phone radiation is pretty nasty stuff. It's not benign. And so that's why I recommend things like turning off your cell phone at night, putting it in the airplane mode when you have it in your pocket, because it's really having an impact on you to a greater degree than most people realize.
I'm going to wear out my settings button since I've got involved in this, because I carried it in my pocket like everyone else until I learned about this. Now, it's interesting that you mentioned how it degrades trees. Boise's name was Calais-Bois, the city of trees, right? And our city council has a laudable goal of wanting to be green and sustainable by the year 2030 or 2035. We're not going to be very green if our trees are brown and our bees are dead.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Not only that, but let's talk about the power hog with these things. I think you may have mentioned that, right? It's 3.5 times greater.
Well, I've heard varying numbers, and that's one the one that seems to be the most solid. So it's expensive. Wireless communication is very expensive from a power standpoint. If you think about it, if you have a wired network, it takes almost no power to send information. But as soon as you go wireless, you're radiating.
Right.
And you have a single receiver somewhere that's getting the information that you're sending. That's extremely wasteful. So, and also from speed standpoint, I'm talking on a wired computer right now. It's much, much faster. And security. I mean, when you're wireless, everybody can receive your signal. And there are a lot of apps out there that help you decode even an encoded transmission. So it's not secure when you are going wireless, not nearly as secure. And it's far more secure if you go wired. So that's a recommendation. There are a lot of things you can do. In fact, this is a point I wanted to get to. And that is, I'm here talking about a problem. Who wants to hear about more problems? My gosh, we've got everything that's around us going to kill us somehow. But the good news is that there are lots of solutions. And so there are ways of your cell phone, for example, the cell phone knows it has sensors that determine whether or not it's next to your skin. The impedance of the antennas changes. It knows it. So you could easily put in a design. In fact, it probably wouldn't take a hardware change. You could do it with software that would go automatically into airplane mode when you put it in your pocket or had it next to your skin. Easy to do. There are lots of other changes that could be made to make your life a lot safer. And the setback is one of them. Things to do with your own cell phone, because it's the strongest radiator that you're near to, because it's about varies between 0.6 of a watt and 3 watts. It's a powerful transmitter. And I think that once people know, they'll start finding ways of protecting themselves against it, even without modifications. But once we recognize it and acknowledge it as a society, we can address means to address that problem.
Well, you know, so there has been a couple cities here in Idaho that have done the right thing. Eagle, Idaho has said no cell phone, none of these 5G towers in neighborhoods, or no wireless antennas, period, in neighborhoods. Ammon, Idaho, a little town in eastern Idaho, with fiber optics. Mountain Home, the mayor there says, I wonder what it would cost to wire my city buildings with fiber optics. And he bought the equipment and put his guys to work, and it was $17.51 a linear foot. And they says, well, huh, what would it cost to wire the rest of the town? Cost $2,700 per home. And of course, Mountain Home and people are excited. They're going to get fiber optics. But, you know, the Treasure Valley, we're 100% wired. There's nobody without the ability to get internet service.
That's right. That's wonderful, because that's quality service.
Yeah. And of course, yeah, fiber optics is where that's the fastest.
And another way of saying it too is you're future proofing your access to the internet.
Right.
Because wireless, you have to get new devices all the time, it seems, right, and the spectrum is limited. But when you have wired Ethernet, you can go on, you can expand that for a long, long time, for many years to come, and it's not going to change. And it'll give you the performance you're looking for.
What did you guys know if you looked at this or not, but what would be a cap on power? If you were to say, hey, I am the czar of the town, and I have determined that we're going to have X power on these towers, what would that power output be?
Well, what I would do is I would be looking at the acceptable power in regions where people live. And that would be about, I would call it probably somewhere between 30 and 500 microwatts per square meter. And I can justify that. I have a whole presentation on that, because since we are going to make that recommendation about the setback, I have to show where those numbers came from. And right. So it would be, you know, below less than 500 microwatts per square meter.
Yeah. What is it?
I'm sorry.
Put that in perspective. People have Wi-Fi in their home. That's putting out, what, 0.01 watt of power? Is that right?
It's putting out about, that's 100 milliwatts. So okay. 0.1 watts maximum. And, but it's not the power of the transmitter. It's where the transmitter is with respect to you. So if you have the same power tower, as we currently have, but it's 1,640 feet away from you, you're getting the type of exposure that is now considered to be safe.
Yeah.
So it's not limiting the transmitter power necessarily, but it would be, I'm flashing on something else I meant to recommend, and that is turning your Wi-Fi off at night, turning your cell phone completely off at night. And I've made this recommendation in other presentations, and I've had people get back to me and said that, hey, it has made a huge difference. I was suffering from insomnia. Now that I've turned off my Wi-Fi at home and I turned off my cell phone, I'm not experiencing that anymore. So people become kind of fanatic about that, just to keep things quiet. But what I mentioned, that there are certain power levels. So regardless of how powerful the antenna is, if it's far enough away, the signal has died off to the point where it now becomes pretty much innocuous, something that's not going to harm you.
Right. Yeah, I put a timer on and we're eventually going to get, when I get it done, be just hardwired. My house is pretty big, and it's not the easiest thing to.
Yeah, I know. I've run the wire, but it's so nice once you get it done.
Right. I've got lots of coaxial cable from my satellite. I was in the satellite business back in the 80s, Kent, and I've got all that cable, massive amount of it throughout the house, but doggone it.
Well, just to say, you can go from cable or go from Ethernet to cable and back.
Oh, okay.
So if you have the cable already run in your house,
yes,
you can use that in place of the the RJ45 connectors,
right,
and the twisted pair. So you can use that coax.
Oh, great. Well, problem solved.
I hope so. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, no, I've got every room in the house. I mean, it was a big project when we did it.
So you have the cable running. So, look for those converters from Ethernet to coax.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, this is the best part of the whole call. Solve my problem.
Maybe.
Well, we talked about a lot today. We've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything else that you that you think that the average citizen should know about this to protect their loved ones and babies and be able to live a life with not having to worry about this pollution beaming into their brains and bodies?
Well, yes. And by the way, the telecom industry, for reasons that we've talked about earlier, wants to keep people believing that their cell phones are completely harmless. And that in itself is dangerous, because if you think your cell phone's harmless, you're going to expose yourself more than if you realize the harms involved. So people are probably going to be hearing from the cell phone industry as part of this process of writing code writing ordinances for the rollout of wireless. And so I wanted to say a little bit about the telecom industry, that I've heard them. They have paid people, you know, with degrees like mine, that will come out and tell them that there's absolutely no harm with exposure. And I want to just make the statement that the only people I've ever heard say that are people who have associations with or are associated with the cell phone industry. Everybody else, every other scientist, without exception, everybody who's not working for the cell phone industry, they talk about the harms associated with exposure, just like I'm talking about today. And just kind of one other point to make, and that is, the cell phone industry, claim that we are doing cherry picking from junk journals to make these claims, the claims for harm. But it turns out that over time, just like what Big Tobacco has done, some of the early studies, the studies show, funded by industry, did show no harm from smoking or now with exposure to electromagnetic fields. But over time, it became more and more obvious that smoking and exposure to electromagnetic fields cause a problem. The most recent study where they looked at studies over time, they found that 73% of the studies, period, all of the studies, show that there's an impact on neurological effects due to exposure, and from free radical, you know, oxidative damage, that 91% of the studies, all of the studies, whether they're funded by industry or funded by non-industry, they're all showing the same problem. So with this idea of cherry picking, no, the majority of the journal articles, peer-reviewed journal articles, do show that there's a problem. And in the beginning, the industry-funded studies, oh, they didn't show any problem at all. It was only the non-industry-funded studies. But nowadays, it's pretty well accepted in the scientific community. It's not pretty well accepted. It's very well accepted that exposure to radiation does cause problems.
Well, free radicals, for those of you listening, a free radical is what contributes to cancer. So if you open an apple and you've seen it turn brown, that's free radical damage. That's oxidation. That's what can cause your cells to oxidize and eventually create tumors. So one of the other things that I lost my train of thought there. Doggone it. You had another good
I hate when that happens. Is your cell phone turned on?
Yeah, it's a little ways away from me. That's probably why, yeah. I haven't had this office measured yet. But by the way, guys, speaking of that, on our staff, on our board, I should say staff, our volunteer board of Idahoans for Safe Technology. By the way, if you want to get more information, lots of videos there. I think we're putting yours up there as well. And I don't know if it's gone up yet. But go to idahoansforsafetechnology.org, also on Facebook. Kathy Cook goes around the country measuring homes. And it's amazing how she starts measuring baby monitors and Wi-Fi and their cell phones. And next thing you know, she goes, well, look at this. You're in a toxic soup before you even got the towers that are going to be coming down the street. And let's mitigate that. And as soon as they do, as you mentioned earlier, big significant changes in everything, all the body functions. So, and it's a big deal. Like I say, we run a 10-day healing retreat here in Boise, Idaho. And we get, you name it, symptoms. We start detoxifying the body, which really helps because so many people have so many heavy metals in their body today, which I think makes it a bigger factor when you've got this radiation coming at you.
It all adds together.
All adds up, for sure, for sure. So, hey, Ken, I really thank you for coming on. So, guys, listen up. If you're listening to this, October 4th, big meeting, planning and zoning, testify. You got registered by Monday at noon if you want to do it on Zoom. You can walk down at 6 and the meeting starts. We're fourth on the agenda. That could speed up because sometimes they delay things or other applications get postponed like ours did last time. So you definitely want to weigh in. You will definitely want to put an email to the city council people because they really don't understand it. They've been, you know, the attorneys are still, the Verizon's coached them up quite well. They've cherry picked pieces out of the some of the court rulings, including the 2018 ruling that the FCC clearly lost. They just lost one August 13th, big one. And Ken, hey, I think they mentioned something about 6,000 megahertz towers. Nothing.
Yeah, that's 6,000 megahertz. The idea of going with 5G is that you'd be operating at a higher frequency, so you'd have a wider bandwidth. And in fact, it can go up, you know, 30 gigahertz and higher. And so we don't know what happens with the human body with any of this exposure, and we particularly don't know what happens with these very, very high frequencies. So that's definitely a concern.
What about the it's called the Starlink, the stuff that Elon Musk is putting up, the satellite?
Well, of course, there are other concerns that go outside of health, and I'm not sure I can get into that right now, but there are security concerns. There's also safety concerns with the interference with GPS, the global positioning system. And so there are lots of concerns about going to these higher frequencies, concerns that I'm going to leave to the FAA right now, the Federal Aviation Administration, because they've lodged concerns about going to the new, you know, Starlink and the 5G systems.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on. Hey, I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And I just hope it does some good. I hope that some people are now more concerned, because what I see, the only way to change things is to have people come out in large numbers to go against this. Because if everybody remains under the impression their cell phone doesn't hurt them, hey, the more radiation, the better, the harder it's going to be to enact to ordinances that are really going to protect people.
I agree. That's what we're hoping to see Monday night.
Right.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate being here. If you're listening to us on the podcast, give us a thumbs up. Give us a review if you like this stuff. We'll be back next week with another episode on the Whole Body Detox Show. I'm David DeHaas from Living Waters Wellness Center in Boise, Idaho. Thanks, Kent, for being on again.
My pleasure.
See you next week. In the old recording here. You can't treat the body and heal it a piece at a time. You have to treat the whole body naturally. That's why Living Waters Wellness Center 10-Day Healing Retreat is so successful in helping what I call the incurables back to wellness. Here's what a few clients had to say about their experience at Living Waters Wellness Center.
For over a year, I've been dealing with gas pains, stomach pains, and waking me up in the middle of the night, so I never get a full night's rest. And last night, after my first colonics, I slept through the entire night without any stomach pain or any kind of issues.
I suffered from migraine headaches for 12 years, once a month. And since I did the 10-day retreat at Living Waters Wellness Center 8 years ago, I have not even had a migraine. I've not even had a headache.
I had back pain on my left side for about 20, 25 years. After the 10-day healing retreat, the pain is completely gone.
To learn more about the 10-Day Healing Retreat, go to healingtheincurables.com or call the office at 208-378-9911. That's 208-378-9911. The preceding examples may not be typical of your experience and may not be right for you. Seek the opinion of a qualified healthcare professional before determining if cleansing is right for you.